light of guidance, the 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 light of guidance.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is very beautifully reported to have said, the one who recites durood, salutations, salawat, salam, once upon me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers 10 mercies upon that person, 10 of his sins are removed and his rank is elevated 10 times. Subhanallah, sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salaman alayka, ya sayyidi, ya habibi, ya rasulallah, sallallahu ala Muhammad, nurin min nurillah. Marhaba, khushamdeed, welcome to one and all to another beautiful and mubarak and blessed episode and silsila of this wonderful series known as The Light of Guidance. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, as we all know, the light of guidance refers to the beautiful religion, the beautiful deen of Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the deen of Islam, the deen which teaches us peace, muhabbat, love, ulfat, the deen which teaches us, you know, how to respect not only our elders, our parents, rather our siblings, our friends, our family members, even our neighbors, subhanallah, the religion which teaches us how to be proper human beings, Allah, 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 subhanallah. And undoubtedly the person who follows the true teachings of this deen, he is on the straight path. And the person who has turned away from this deen and from the teachings of this deen, he's ended up being misguided and he has left the straight path and he is not on the path of guidance. Subhanallah. So we make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all steadfast on this beautiful light of guidance, on this path of guidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm on maslaki haq, maslaki ahlus sunnah wal jama'ah, maslaki ala hazrat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, the ability of leaving this world in the state of iman as well. Ameen, 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 ya rabbal alameen. Because believe me, the time close to qiyamah, and in the modern time, the modern era, where there is social media, where there are devices, you have your tablets, your cell phones, your laptops, whatever the case is, and you know, everything is trying to divert your attention from Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you are being taken away from the teachings of Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in this time, believe me, it is very, 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 very difficult to remain firm on the teachings of Islam, on the teachings of this beautiful light of guidance. And unfortunately, when a person doesn't follow the teachings, there comes a time where maybe the person, you know, ends up being misguided, and maybe, al-ayazu billah, the person ends up committing disbelief and kufr, al-ayazu billah. So that's a dua which everyone should make, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to leave this world in the state of iman. The last words should be the kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our final words should be praising Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our final words should be the testification that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final and last messenger of Allah subhanahu. So this is a dua which everyone should make, because by Allah, we do not know. First of all, we do not know when we are going to be leaving this world. I do not know whether I will be here for the next 5 minutes. I do not know whether I will be here tomorrow. I do not know whether I will see tomorrow's Fajr Salah. I do not know whether I will be here for tomorrow's Zuhr. I do not know what I'm going to eat tomorrow, whether I will eat tomorrow, I won't eat. Nobody knows about anyone. If you, me, none of us know what's going to happen in the next second. And we have witnessed things like this. We have seen issues like this where, you know, we heard that somebody left this world and we said, just a few days ago I was speaking to him, just yesterday I was speaking to him, just 1 hour ago I was speaking to him, just yesterday I saw him, just this happened. It happens. So we do not know when we are going to be leaving this world. And we do not know when we're leaving this world, and we do not know in which state we will be leaving this world. By Allah, by Allah, by Allah, we have seen people, we have heard about people leaving this world in the worst condition, in the bad situations, by accidents, by, you know, maybe big accidents, or in some vehicles and cars, in bus, in trains, in aeroplanes, by crashing, by this, by being cut up, by whatever the case is. There are so many cases which we have heard of, and people die of sicknesses, people die whilst they are suffering, people die, you know, in weird ways, but we make dua in the court of Allah. So these two things we do not know, that when we are going to leave this world, in which state we are going to leave this world. Right. So, and we do not know whether we are going to be in the state of Iman, we're not going to be in the state of Iman. So this is a dua which everyone must make. Ya Allah, bless us all with husn khatima, with a peaceful death, a beautiful death, that when we leave this world, it must be in a peaceful state, and it must be, you know, whilst what we are in the state of Iman. Just for a second, there shouldn't be a time where we are not in the state of Iman, Ya Allah. We must leave this world with the love of Allah and His beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, on a day of Qiyamah, we will be in the company of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, you know, this discussion started now, and everyone should make this dua. We should make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm on the teachings of Allah and His beloved Nabi, and may we leave this world in such a state that we are steadfast on the teachings of Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is how beautiful Islam is. Islam gives us wonderful teachings. Islam gives us beautiful teachings. Islam is a way of life. So Islam is teaching us that subhanAllah, whenever anything happens, you must make a dua. And in the dua, Islam is teaching you how to make shukr, how to make sabr, how to have tawakkul. So many lessons each dua in Islam is giving you, subhanAllah. As when you look into a mirror, what dua we make? We make Allahumma anta hassanta khalqi fahassin khuluqi. Or we say Allahumma kama hassanta khalqi fahassin khuluqi. That Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you have beautified my creation, means outer appearance, my face, my hands, my features, my nose, my eyes, my mouth, my body, whatever it is, you look in a mirror, so you see a reflection of yourself. Ya Allah, you have beautified my outer self, subhanAllah, fahassin khuluqi, so beautify my inner self as well, beautify my character, beautify my akhlaq, beautify my etiquettes, my manners, my adab, subhanAllah. What a beautiful dua Islam is teaching us. Huh? That when you look in the mirror, you are so wonderful, you are so handsome, you are so beautiful, whatever the case is, then that time make dua, Ya Allah, make my inner self beautiful as well. Because it is very easy to be beautiful on the outside. You can wear the best clothes, you can look smart, you can look nice, you can look handsome. Allah, 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 Allah. But if your inner self is dirty, then what's the use? The best person is that person whose inner self is pure. His heart must be pure, his akhlaq must be pure, his character must be pure, his etiquettes must be pure. Then that person becomes lovely, then that person becomes wonderful. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So, alhamdulillah, Islam gives us these teachings. Islam teaches us that when you make a dua, in these various duas, there's always something which links you towards self-contemplation, which links you towards Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, today the topic which we will be discussing, inshallah, a very beautiful topic, a very excellent topic, mashaAllah. And today we will be discussing the parables of the pious predecessors, some incidents regarding our Buzurganadeen, our awliya kiram, and we will learn about the modesty of the pious predecessors. Yeah? Modesty is also a beautiful quality, alhamdulillah, and this quality should be in each and every Muslim, it should be in each and every believer, subhanallah. And modesty is such a quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this quality, and people also love a person who is modest, alhamdulillah. So today the discussion will be the parables regarding the modesty of our pious predecessors. Inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. Let's make good intentions. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we will listen to the entire discussion from beginning to end. Whenever we hear the name of Allah, we will glorify and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, when we hear the blessed name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will recite durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, most importantly, whatever we learn, as we know that we are going to discuss modesty, so inshallah we'll try and implement whatever we are learning in our lives, our lifestyle, and then inshallah we'll try and pass the message on to others as well. We'll teach others as well. We'll motivate others as well. We'll encourage others as well, inshallah. And subhanallah, who knows that because of our motivation, because of our encouragement, the next person, you know, starts adopting these beautiful qualities, subhanallah, then inshallah, it will be a means of salvation for us as well. It will be a means of attaining reward for us as well in this world and in the hereafter as well. Subhanallah, subhanallah. To begin today's discussion, a very beautiful narration is mentioned in Muslim Sharif, subhanallah. Umm al-Mu'mineen Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa Tayyiba Tahira radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved and blessed wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the beloved daughter of Sayyidina Afdalul Bashri Ba'd al-Anbiya bi-Tahqeeq, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the greatest personality after the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, after the Prophets alayhim as-salam, which is none other than Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, subhanallah. So his beloved and blessed daughter Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa, who is our beloved mother, because she is Umm al-Mu'mineen, she is the blessed wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she narrates that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was laying on his bed covered with my shawl. In the meantime, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu sought permission from the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to enter. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam granted him permission. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then fulfilled whatever Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq asked, whatever the reason was for which he came there. My beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, fulfilled his reason, everything was done. And then Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq left. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in the same state with the shawl on him, and Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu sought permission from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam granted him permission. And when Sayyidina Umar Farooq came, whatever need he wanted, my beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, solved the problem, fulfilled his need, and Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu also left. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained covered in the shawl in the same state. Then Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu sought permission and entered. The noble Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat straight up and said to Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, take your shawl. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then, you know, fulfilled the purpose for which Sayyidina Usman Ghani came, whatever need it was. My Nabi sallam fulfilled the matter, and Sayyidina Usman Ghani also left. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha humbly asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the arrival of Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, you did not do what you did when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu entered. Means when those two personalities came, you were in the same position. But when Sayyidina Usman Ghani came, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat straight up. So what's the beautiful hikmah? What's the beautiful reason behind this? Subhanallah. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and said, Usman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is very modest. If I had granted him permission in the same state, then there was a fear that his need would have not been fulfilled. That is, he would have gone back without saying anything. Allah, 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 subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. My dear Islamic brothers, did you see the beautiful quality of Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu? How modest he was. Look at this quality. Even my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that he is so modest. If I would have been in that state, although my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in a perfect state, but you know, just to show the quality of Sayyidina Usman Ghani, that how much, you know, modesty he loves and how beautiful this quality was instilled inside him, subhanallah, subhanallah, that if my Nabi Sassan would have been in that same position whilst he was lying down, Sayyidina Usman Ghani would have left and he would come back maybe a different time, subhanallah. That's why my beloved Nabi Sassan said, subhanallah, so Sayyidina Usman Ghani can come and whatever the purpose was for which he came could be fulfilled, subhanallah. So this is a teaching for the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is passing a message that this is a quality which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves, and this is a quality which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, subhanallah. And this quality was found in Zunnurain, subhanallah, Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And how beautiful this quality in this personality is, that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amir bin Rabi'ah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu mentions. He says, on the day of the siege, we were with Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, anhu. Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I never committed fornication during the pre-Islamic era of ignorance, nor have I committed it after embracing Islam. Instead, after embracing Islam, my modesty has further increased. Subhanallah, I have become more modest after Islam and before Islam as well. By Allah, I have never committed any zina or any fornication. No. Means before Islam, I had this beautiful quality. And after Islam, Islam beautifies everything. So this quality became more beautified, became more lovely, and became more excellent. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman alayki ya Sayyidi ya Habibi ya Rasulullah. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, nurin min nurillah. MashaAllah. So my dear Islamic brothers, this is the beautiful modesty of the pious predecessors. And this is a quality, as I mentioned, which is loved by Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. And this is also a point to be noted, that this modesty was in Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. And that's why when in khutbah, you must have heard many of the khatib, that when they are lecturing, when they're giving the khutbah, they say, Jamil Quran, Kamilil Hayai wal Iman. And the one whose haya, whose modesty was Kamil, it was complete, it was akmal. Subhanallah. He was so modest that when we talk about him, we also mention this quality, we associate this quality with him, subhanallah. And sometimes a quality becomes so unique for a personality that whenever we speak about that personality, that quality becomes associated. Like we speak about Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. And then, we mention Afdal al-Bashri ba'd al-Anbiya bi-Tahqeeq, the one who has the most excellence after the Anbiya alayhi musallam, the one who is Siddiq, he speaks the truth, he is truthful. His name was not Siddiq, it was a title given to him. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So he was truthful, that's why until Qiyamah, whenever we mention his blessed name, we put Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, that Abu Bakr who is truthful. Subhanallah. Likewise, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Farooq means the one who differentiates between what is right, what is wrong, between haq and batil. And when we mention about Sayyidina Umar Farooq, we say A'adl al-Ashab, the one who had the most justice amongst the Sahaba ikram. He was so A'adil. What is right is right, and what is wrong, right? If something is wrong, even whoever is doing it, it is wrong. And if something is right, even if everyone is leaving it, it is still right. So a person who was a man of his rules, a person who was just, he was adil, a proper ruler, a proper hakim. Subhanallah. So when this quality became so beautiful that in the world, wherever we speak about justice, the first name which comes to mind is Sayyidina Umar al-Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Likewise, Sayyidina Usman Ghani. That this quality of Kamilul Haya, being so modest, is so attached to him. Whenever we speak about Haya amongst the Sahaba Ikram and modesty amongst the Sahaba Ikram, the first person which comes to mind is Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Like Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When we speak about bravery, about shuja'at, then the person who comes to mind is Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His bravery, people speaks about it. People speak about it. Huh? And Sayyidina Umar Farooq was also brave, subhanallah. And Sayyidina Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem, his immense knowledge, his immense understanding. So these qualities become attached to different personalities. And whenever we remember these qualities, subhanallah, then we remember the different personalities. So when we speak about bravery and intelligence and knowledge, Sayyidina Ali comes to mind. We speak about justice, Sayyidina Umar Farooq comes to mind. We speak about sadaqat, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq comes to mind. And we speak about modesty and haya, Sayyidina Usman Ghani comes to mind. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So if this was the level of modesty in Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then by Allah, we can never ever imagine the level of modesty in the Zaat of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because by Allah, people have different qualities, but the peak of every quality, the highest level of every quality is given to the beloved and most beautiful Rasul Muhammad Mustafa Ahmad Mujtaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you cannot understand the modesty of Sayyidina Usman Ghani, by Allah, you will never understand the modesty of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. And with regards to this, there's a beautiful hadith regarding the modesty of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is also mentioned in Mishkat Sharif, that a renowned companion, Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, has mentioned the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more modest than a maiden in her parda. Allah, 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 subhanallah. And elaborating on this beautiful hadith, a renowned commentator of the Holy Quran and of the hadith, a very great mufassir and muhaddith, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, has said, when a maiden is about to get married, she is made to sit in a corner of the house. It is called sitting the girl in Mayu, in Urdu. The girl is very shy at this time. She feels shy with the family members and does not freely talk to anyone. The shyness of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was more than this. Modesty is a special secret quality of men. The stronger his faith will be, the more modest he will be. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman alayki ya sayyidi ya habibi ya rasulullah, sallallahu ala Muhammad, an-nurin min nurillah. My dear Islamic brothers, normally in a person's life, a person usually has to pass three stages in his life. Number one is the childhood, number two is the youth, and number three is the old age. In childhood, the human's nature is attracted towards sports, towards playing around, moving around, you know, those kinds of things. And in the old age, the person gets weak, he becomes old, he starts getting sicknesses, he starts having, diseases, he is less inclined towards committing sins. Mostly you'll find old people sitting on the musalla, sitting, making ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading the tasbih, because they are old, you know, their blood is no longer in that movement to go in and, you know, go to this place, that place, whatever the case is. But in youth, this is a very important stage of life. Because in youth, the person can do both things. He can play, he can do sports, he can do every sort of nonsense thing. He can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His heart is inclined towards playing. His heart is inclined towards worship as well. Both things are in front of him. And nothing is difficult. If he wants to worship, he can worship. If he wants to play, he will play. But it's not that, you know, he can't play now because he is too old, or he can't worship because he is too young. No, both things are in front of him. And at that time, it's the real test for a person. That is why the most difficult time in a person's life is this youth. If a person takes care of this youth of his, by Allah, subhanallah, in the old age, he won't have regret. In the old age, there wouldn't be any pachtava. In the old age, there wouldn't be any remorse. Because he took care of himself when he was young. He was saying, Mulasa, we are taking care of myself. I mean, I'm going to the gym, I'm being healthy, I'm drinking my shapes, I'm drinking my milk, I'm taking care of my body. I said, yes, that is taking care of yourself. It's good. You must keep yourself healthy. You must keep yourself fit. But are you taking care of your inner self as well? Every sin you are committing, every filthy thing you are doing, every filthy thing you are seeing, every bad thing you are hearing, every bad thing you are speaking, every wrong thing you are committing, every wrong place you are going to, all of this you are doing. Then how are you taking care of your youth? Salah, you are not performing. Fajr, you are not performing. Ibadat, you are not doing. Every futile activity you are doing. Then how are you taking care of your youth? Youth doesn't only mean you must take care of your appearance, your physical body. No. Internally, you must take care of yourself as well. That's why I said this dua is there. Allahumma anta hassan ta khalqi fa hassin khuluqi. When you look in the mirror, that reminder is there. I need to take care of my inner self as well as I'm taking care of my outer self. So, at this time in stage, when a person becomes, implements this beautiful quality of modesty in his heart, in his life, in his lifestyle, this person becomes unique, this person becomes special. Because that's the time where it is the most difficult time to become modest, the most difficult time to use this quality and to implement this quality. So everyone who is listening to me, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to adopt these beautiful teachings. All of us should make intentions that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us through the sadaqah of Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu and all the sahaba ikram, all the buzurgan hadeen, the ahle bayt adhar, the pious predecessors, through the wasila of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us modest as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to also adopt this beautiful quality, inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. Subhanallah. Another beautiful narration of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is mentioned in Sharh al-Sudur, which is written by Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. a very great mufassir and muhaddis of his time, subhanallah. It is mentioned in the blessed time of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhum. There was a very young man who was very pious and he would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu would also be surprised at the worship of this youngster. After performing Isha Salah in the masjid, this young man would go to and look after his old father. On the way, a beautiful woman would call him towards her, but he would not pay any attention to her and would pass by keeping his gaze lowered. Finally, one day the young man moved towards her with an evil intention due to a satanic whisper and her call. As he reached the door, he recalled the blessed saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is mentioned in Surah A'raf, ayat number 201. Allah, 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 Allah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innal ladhina taqaw idha massahum ta'ifun minash shaytani tadhakkaru fa idha hum mubsirun. Indeed, those who fear get alerted whenever a temptation from the devil troubles them, and they perceive immediately. Upon recalling this blessed ayah of the Holy Quran, his heart was so overpowered with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he fell down unconscious. When much time had passed and he did not reach his home, his old father went out in search for him. After finding him with the help of some people, he took him home. As he gained consciousness, his father asked him about the whole incident. Having explained the entire incident, the young man mentioned the blessed ayah. Again, he was overpowered with extreme fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he let out a loud scream and he passed away. His ghusl, the kafan, dafan, everything, and the burial was carried out in the night. Subhanallah. In the morning, when this entire incident reached Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went to the father to do taziyat, to express his condolences. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked the father, told the father, why didn't you inform me at night? Why didn't you call me in the night? I would have participated in the janazah. So the old father humbly said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, keeping your rest in mind, I did not find it suitable. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, take me to his grave. Having reached there, he recited the blessed ayah of the Holy Quran, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ, translation from Kanzul Iman, and for one who fears to stand before his Lord are two gardens. Subhanallah, the young man said loudly by calling out from inside his grave, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, indeed my Rabb has granted me two paradises, two Jannat. Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Allah, 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 Allah. Farma ke shafaat, meri e shafi'a mahshar. فرما کے شفاعت میری اے شافع محشر دوزخ سے بچا کر مجھے جنت میں بسانا آمین 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 یا رب العالمین صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم مجھے اسلام برادرز how beautiful this incident is but first of all this was the prime time of this youngster so every day he would refrain but one day shaitan's whisper went to him he went with the evil intention but immediately he remembered the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the beautiful kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what happened modesty overtook him at that time that quality was there so his filthy quality at that moment was dominant but as soon as he remembered the ayat of the Holy Quran that modesty came and took over when the modesty took over subhanallah he repented he removed from the sin and the reward was وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ that yes that taqwa came that fear of Allah came and what happened Allah Ta'ala has given him two paradises subhanallah he was forgiven in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so this is this beautiful quality of modesty this quality of modesty prevents a person from disobeying Allah and his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because that haya is there if your father is in front of you your mother is in front of you your elder brother elder sister sibling uncle teacher murshid whatever the case is then how do you act you try to be the best person sit in the utmost respected position You will not do anything wrong, you will not do anything filthy. Why? Because these elderly people are there. If you have some sharam, if you have some haya, then this is what you are going to do. So, a person who is modest every moment, he thinks, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what I am doing. Allah ta'ala is seeing what I am doing. Allah ta'ala hears everything what I am saying. He knows the thoughts in my heart, in my mind. He knows everything. Even before I think it, Allah ta'ala is aware of everything. There is no doubt. He knows everything, what happened, what is happening, what will happen. everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what I'm doing at this moment, Allah ta'ala knows. Maybe I'm alone, my parents are not here, my siblings are not here, my uncle is not here, my family is not here, this my teacher is not here, but Allah ta'ala knows. This time I'm doing something wrong, nobody is here, but Allah ta'ala knows. Nobody is hearing me, but Allah ta'ala is hearing. Nobody is seeing me, but Allah ta'ala is seeing me. So this person will have this haya in him, this modesty, that if I cannot do this action in front of a respected person, my parents or whatever the case is, then how is my heart allowing me to do this action when I know Allah Ta'ala is watching me, Allah Ta'ala is seeing me, Allah Ta'ala is hearing to everything what I am saying. So that's why ulama-i kiram, muhaddiseen, mufassireen, these pious predecessors, why do you think they informed us about all of these qualities? Because they know that these are the qualities which will prevent us from disobeying Allah and His beloved Nabi, which will, you know, protect us from disobeying Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. There are more discussions regarding, you know, this beautiful quality and modesty. But inshallah, we'll take a short break now, listen to a beautiful kalam, inshallah. And as soon as we return from this beautiful kalam, we will carry on our beautiful discussion regarding this modesty, this quality of modesty. Inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Na koi aap jaisa tha, na koi aap jaisa hai. Koi Yusuf se poochhe Mustafa ka husn kaisa hai. Ae jalwa-e jaanana, ae jalwa-e jaanana. تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ تو ماہ نبوت ہے اے جلوہ جانانا تو شمع رسالت ہے سر کے چہرے سے نقاب اٹھے جو ساقی کوثر کے چہرے سے نقاب اٹھے ہر دل بنے میں خانہ ہر آنکھ ہو پیمانہ
تو ماہ نبوت ہے
جلوہ جانانا، اے جلوہ جانانا، اے جلوہ جانانا، پیتے ہیں تیرے در کا، کھاتے ہیں تیرے در کا، پیتے ہیں تیرے در کا، کھاتے ہیں تیرے در کا، پانی ہے تیرا پانی، دانا ہے تیرا دانا، پانی ہے تیرا پانی، ہاں پانی، دانا ہے تیرا دانا، آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے، عالم تیرا پروانہ، تو ماہ نبوت ہے، اے جلوہ جانانا، ہر پھول میں بو تیری، ہر شمع میں ذو تیری، ہر پھول میں بو تیری، ہر شمع میں ذو تیری، بلبل ہے تیرا بلبل، پروانہ ہے پروانہ، بلبل ہے تیرا بلبل، ہاں بلبل، پروانہ ہے پروانہ، آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے، عالم تیرا پروانہ، تو ماہ نبوت ہے، جلوائے جانانا، اے جلوائے جانانا، اے جلوائے جانانا، وہ کہتے نہ کہتے کچھ، وہ کرتے نہ کرتے کچھ، وہ کہتے نہ کہتے کچھ، وہ کرتے نہ کرتے کچھ، اے کاش وہ سن لیتے مجھ سے میرا افسانہ، اے کاش وہ سن لیتے مجھ سے میرا افسانہ، آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے، عالم تیرا پروانہ، تو ماہ نبوت ہے، اے جلوہ جانانا، سرکار کے جلووں سے روشن ہے دل نوری، سرکار کے جلووں سے روشن ہے دل نوری، تا حشر رہے روشن نوری کا یہ کاشانہ، تا حشر رہے روشن، ہاں روشن نوری کا یہ کاشانہ، آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے، عالم تیرا پروانہ، تو ماہ نبوت ہے، اے جلوہ جانانا، اے جلوائے جانانا اے جلوائے جانانا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم صلاۃ و سلام علیک یا سیدی یا حبیبی یا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علی محمد نور من نور اللہ. مرحبا مرحبا ماشاءاللہ. ویلکم بیک ونس اگین ٹو اور بیوٹیفل ڈسکشن. And we were discussing the beautiful quality of modesty, especially in the lives of the pious predecessors, and beautiful incidents we have been discussing. Subhanallah. Another issue which comes out from this topic of modesty is that we have seen that a father, he will not worry about his daughter. His daughter can wear any kind of clothes. His daughter can go wherever she wants to go. His daughter can meet whoever she wants to meet. His daughter can speak to whoever she wants to speak to, and the father will be totally normal with it. A brother, his sister can wear whatever she wants to wear. His sister can go wherever she wants to go, speak to whoever she wants to speak, be with whoever she wants to be. No issue. The son, his mother can go anywhere, meet anyone, speak to anyone, wear anything. No issue. The husband, the wife can go anywhere, wear anything, do anything, speak to anyone, no issue. Whereas it is the responsibility of the husband. He needs to take care of his wife. He needs to make sure his wife is wearing parda. He needs to make sure his wife has the veil. He needs to make sure his wife is not speaking to ghair mahram people. He needs to make sure his wife is not mixing with the opposite sex. He needs to make sure that his wife is not intermingling with na-mahram men. The father needs to make sure his daughter is not involved in any of these nonsense. The son must make sure his mother is not involved in any of this nonsense. The brother must make sure the sister is not involved in any of this nonsense. Because these are actions which take a person towards Jahannam. And the Holy Quran has motivated us and commanded us that, O you who believe, save yourself and your family members from the fire of Jahannam. So we need to save ourselves first, and then obviously our family members as well. If I know my mother is doing this wrong, I know my wife is doing this wrong, I know my daughter is doing this wrong, I know my sister is doing this wrong, it is my duty to rectify them. It is my duty to tell them that what you are doing is not right. Your clothes which you are wearing, your body parts are being visible, your sitr is being exposed, the people you are speaking to are not your mahram, the people you are conversing to, it's not allowed for you to be with them, so it's not allowed for you to sit with him, it's not allowed for you to meet him, to greet him, to hug him, whatever the case is. So where is the modesty gone there? This is where Islam comes and tells you that this modesty needs to be here. That veil has to be there, that parda has to be there, that covering has to be there, that distance from the unlawful relationship has to be there. This is where Islam tells you that your modesty needs to be. And unfortunately, in today's time and age, almost every house you will find the same issue, same problem. Husband doesn't worry about the wife. In fact, some people are so, I would say, which word to use for these kind of people, that people will take their wives and show their friends, this is my wife, this is my wife, meet her. You must shake his hand, he must shake your hand, this, speak to each other, I'm coming now, I'm going somewhere. The father will bring his daughter, this is my daughter, and he'll laugh and speak about it. The son will even speak about his mother, my mother is this, in front of his friends. The brother will speak about his sister. This is the time which we are staying in today's times. This quality has been taken away so much from the people that unfortunately we have normalized the situation. It has become normal for us now. Immorality, this filthy behavior, disgusting behavior, being with na-mahram, everything has become so normal for us now that we do not even consider it bad at all. Sometimes we have seen some issues that the woman is wearing such clothes that it makes our hair stand. The woman is not worried about it. How many people are looking at her? How many people are, looking at her body parts, and how much sin she is receiving? How much sin the husband is receiving? How much sin the father will be receiving? How much sin the brother is getting? How much sin those that have authority, the son, how much sin they are getting? That they can't stop the woman. Why? Because the woman will say in return, I need to dress however I want to dress. I want to do whatever I want to do. No, when you have accepted the teachings of Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you need to follow the teachings of Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then you can't expect to do everything as you want to do. Islam has given you limits and limitations. Yes, you can eat. But these are your limits. You can't eat this, you can't eat that, you can't eat that. You can drink, but this you can't drink, this you can't drink, this you can't drink. You can wear anything, but don't wear this, don't wear this, don't wear this. You can go in places, but don't go here, don't go here, don't go here. So Islam has given you those limits. Islam hasn't confined you to one room that only stay in your room, don't do anything. No, Islam gave you permission, but there are limits. You can't eat whatever you want to eat. You can't drink whatever you want to drink. You can't wear whatever you want to wear. You can't go wherever you want to go. You can't do whatever you want to do. No. There is limits where Islam has set for you. And if you are a Muslim, a believer, then you need to make sure you are not crossing those limits. You're not transgressing those limits. You need to be away from those limits. You mustn't even go close to those limits. Because then there will be a problem, a big problem. Then you will start going in the line of disobedience of Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And regarding this parda, regarding this veil, how beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. There are a few ayat, but one beautiful ayah I want to mention in front of you. In ayat 33 of Surah Ahzab, Allah ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. And remain in your houses and do not stay unveiled like the unveiling of the former days of ignorance. This is the message of the Holy Quran. Likewise, Allah Ta'ala mentioned, subhanallah, in Surah Nur, ayat number 31, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ. Subhanallah. And command the Muslim woman to keep the gaze low and to protect their chastity and not to reveal their adornment except what is itself apparent, and to keep putting their head coverings over their bosoms and not to reveal their adornment. Subhanallah. So the message of Allah is very clear in the Holy Quran. Allah Ta'ala is telling the woman they need to cover themselves, they need to cover their chest, they need to cover their sitar, they need to cover their body parts, they need to make sure everything is covered, because that's where the fitna starts. The moment a woman, you know, unveils her body, the moment a woman reveals her body parts, that's where shaitan starts attacking the people. So the hukum for the woman is cover your body parts, and the hukum for the men is lower your gaze. And subhanAllah, Islam has set this law. If everyone acts upon this law, then how many problems will be solved? But this law will only be solved if we have the quality of modesty in our hearts, if we have this haya. Subhanallah, we make dua through the wasila and the sadaqah of the pious Buzuganadin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to instill this beautiful quality in our hearts, in our life, in our lifestyle. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us modest through the sadaqah of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani, through the sadaqah of Khulafai Rashidin, through the sadaqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhanallah. With these few words, inshallah, we have come towards the conclusion of today's episode, today's silsila. Remember, act upon whatever we have learned and pass the message on to others as well. We make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to always be steadfast on the teachings of Ala Hazrat and the teachings of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the teachings of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I remember, instill the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your hearts, in your mind. This love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the base of your iman, the base of everything. You have this love, by Allah, you have everything. You lose this love, by Allah, you lose everything. We hope to see you soon, inshallah, Zawjali, in our next episode, The Light of Guidance. Till then, be happy, be positive, think positive, stay positive, remain positive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of you abundance of barakah, abundance of happiness. Jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The Light of Guidance, 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 The Light of Guidance.